Take your Bibles this morning, please, and open with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. As we continue our series of sermons regarding straight talk about the moral issues of our day. Today's message is entitled Straight Talk About Pornography. There is an open sewer in our society today. An open, filthy sewer which is corrupting and polluting the hearts and minds of young and old alike. This sewer flows by means of the broadcast media, by means of movies, videos, television, books, magazines, and yes, even by means of cyberspace. It is the filthy sewer of pornography. Pornography is now an $8 billion a year industry in the United States. Some would say to us that pornography is a victimless crime and therefore should not be made illegal. Is that a reasonable option for our society? I suggest to you this morning that it is not. Listen to these examples, which are drawn from literally hundreds and hundreds of like examples. Bob Lee Boog Jr. raped at least 10 women at knife point over a 5-year period in the Capitol Hill area of Salt Lake City. He said, and I quote, "I was romanticizing the female anatomy to the point that they were an object to me and not a human being." He was denied parole and he will serve at least 15 years in prison. He told the Utah Board of Pardons that pornography had contributed to his depravity. Or consider the Sunday school teacher who allegedly molested and killed 13-year-old Jennifer Moore of Novato, California. This man spent $500 on telephone calls to dial up porn services prior to his crime. Then there is the example of the 66-year-old elementary school janitor who pleaded no contest to charges that he molested girls ages 8 and 9. A police search in this man's Southern California home turned up hundreds of pornographic publications, including child pornography. Just three of literally thousands of examples which could be shared. According to an FBI study of serial killers in prison who were interviewed, 81% admitted that they were addicted to pornography. In a study by Marshall and Goldstein, 87% of molesters of girls and 77% of molesters of boys admitted that they were simply imitating behavior in their child sexual molestation, which they had seen modeled in various forms of pornography. Dr. David New, a psychologist, is finding in his work an increasing number of cases of incest, and he says in almost every instance, with very, very few exceptions, the father was heavily into pornography before he began to molest his own children. The authorities tell us that because of the sexual society, the sexually oriented society in which we live, and because of the flood of pornography in our society, that one in every three 12-year-old girls can expect to be sexually molested before she reaches adulthood. And one of every seven 12-year-old boys can expect to be molested before he reaches adulthood. These are real people, real lives who are being destroyed. Now, let us be honest and say that the devil is the destroyer. He's the true enemy. And Jesus said of Satan, he's a thief, a liar, and a murderer. Jesus spoke truth when he described Satan in that way. Satan is the destroyer, but one of his primary weapons to destroy young lives and old lives alike is the weapon of pornography. I say to you emphatically today, pornography is not a victimless crime.
It's time for some straight talk about pornography. I don't know if you've noticed over these series of messages, when I preached on abortion, I was preaching not to the world, but to Christians. I was preaching to this church. And I wasn't preaching to the abortionists. I was preaching to folk who name the name of Jesus, who, when it's convenient, or when they find themselves in a crisis, they want to abort. When I preached on gambling, I was preaching to the church. When I preached on alcohol, I was preaching to church members who think it's socially okay to drink beverage alcohol. And when I speak to you today on the issue of pornography, I'm not preaching against the pornographers today. They're not here. I'm preaching to those of you who are here. I'm preaching to Christians today. It's time for some straight talk to Christians, to God's people, the people who name the name of Jesus about pornography. If you'll look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, you'll find a statement regarding the will of God. Do you want to know God's will for your life? There's no question that I'm asked by members of this church more than this question. Pastor, how can I know the will of God for my life? Most of what you need to know about the will of God is found in the Word of God. And if you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, you'll find that it is God's will that you should be holy. God wants us to be holy, to be set apart for His purposes, that you should avoid sexual immorality. God says, my will for you is to avoid sexual immorality. Now, some of you who have a King James Version or some of the older versions will find that that phrase translated sexual immorality in some of our modern versions is translated fornication in some of the older versions. And it literally means to engage in illicit sexual relationships with anybody other than to whom you're married. But the word translated in our modern language is sexual immorality, and in the older versions, fornication, is the Greek word porneia. Now, does the Greek word porneia sound anything at all to you like the word pornography? Well, it should, because it is the root word from which we get our English word pornography. Porneia is to play the harlot. And pornography is the word graphic or graphe, the word for writing. It's sexually immoral writing, words, images, pictures. And so the scripture says to those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, it is God's will that you should be holy, that you should avoid porneia. You should avoid it in its physical manifestation, in the act of sexual intercourse apart from marriage. You should avoid it in the very dealing with the whole area of pornography. God's word is quite clear on this. And so, as we think today about pornography, as we try to give some straight talk about pornography, I want you to think with me along four lines today. First of all, we're going to consider the deceitfulness of pornography. And then the danger posed by pornography. And then thirdly, the defense against pornography. And finally, how to be delivered, or the deliverance over the bondage of pornography. But first of all, think with me about the deceit of pornography. Pornography is a deceiver of the highest degree. Now look in Proverbs chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. Here we find warnings against sexual immorality. And it is a specific warning to a young man against the danger of the adulteress. But we make the application to pornography. Proverbs 5, verse 3 and following. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Now, what was said about the adulteress can be said about pornography. Pornography, at first look, is very attractive. It's alluring. It's fascinating. It's tantalizing. It's exciting. Those who first began to indulge in pornography will remember that that excitement, that thrill, that adrenaline rush that came, how your heart began to beat faster and your blood began to run hot in your veins as you began to gaze on pornography. But it deceives. It doesn't take long to find out that pornography promises, but it always overpromises and it underdelivers. Pornography is a deceiver. Look again in verse 3. Let's just change one or two words in there. Where it says, the lips of an adulteress drip honey and her speech is smoother than oil. Pornography promises that. It promises a sweet taste like honey. It promises to be smooth as oil. It's going to be exciting and thrilling and fun. But it never delivers on its promise. In the end, pornography is bitter as gall. It's sharp as a double-edged sword. And if taken to its logical conclusion, it will lead to death, to the grave. Let us not be deceived today about pornography. Do you understand that the images you see in pornographic magazines or videos or on your computer screen or airbrushed images, that's not real life? That is the lie of Satan. Far too many have been deceived into believing that this is going to be an exciting thing for me to do and have come away empty-handed. But not only is pornography deceitful, but secondly, think with me about the danger of pornography. I specifically refer to the danger to those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, because I'm a Christian, because the Holy Spirit lives in me, this is not an issue that I need to have my guard up. This is not a source of danger or peril for me. Now, if that's what you're thinking, listen to the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. The most dangerous position to be in regarding the temptation of pornography, or as far as that goes, any other temptation to sin, is the person who says, well, that's one area where Satan will get me. I'm immune to that area. Because when you do that, you let your guard down. So if you think you are standing firm here, be careful that you don't fall. Don't play with pornography. You know, when you find yourself ensnared in the chains of pornography, there's so much to lose. Let me share with you just four areas where you're going to lose if you engage in reading or viewing pornography. First of all, is you'll lose your intimacy with God. You'll lose your intimacy with God. Look in Psalms 24. Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4. This is what the psalmist said. King David said this. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy presence? He asked two rhetorical questions. Who's going to stand in the presence of God? He who has a clean hand and a pure heart. Do you want to be intimate with the Lord Jesus? Do you just want to be just close to Jesus and walk with Him day by day, moment by moment, in sweet fellowship? Then the Scripture says you must have clean hands and a pure heart. I know of nothing that will destroy intimacy with God any quicker than a person who reads pornography. Read it if you please. But soon you will find that you cease to read the Word of God. Your prayer life will dry up. and sweet communion and intimacy with a Father in heaven will cease to exist in your life. The joy of your salvation, the sparkle in your eyes, will be no more. Destroyed by pornography. What a danger that every one of us runs if we play around with pornography. There's a second thing you are in danger of losing if you play around with pornography, and that is you're in danger of losing your witness and your ministry. It's as if when a person begins to have pornography as a part of his lifestyle, that the devil puts a straitjacket on him. And one who once had an effective witness for Christ, once who had a ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was serving in some capacity for the Lord Jesus Christ, does so no more, if for no other reason, because his own conscience condemns him. And the devil comes along and feeds that fire and says, "Now who do you think you are trying to tell your friend about how to go to heaven? What about what you were looking at on television last night?" The surest way I know to have your tongue silenced so that you can't be a witness for Jesus Christ is to be a participant, to dabble in pornography. It will cause you to lose your witness, your credibility as a witness, and even your desire to be a witness for Jesus. There's a third danger. There's the danger of losing your intimacy with your mate. Now, if you're not married, this part's not for you, but for all of us who are married, listen to your pastor. If you're involved in observing pornography, then what you're doing is you're channeling some of your sexual energy that ought to be channeled exclusively. When I say exclusively, I mean 100%, not 99%, but 100% to your mate. Now maybe you're not committing physical adultery at all, but in your mind you are, as you fantasize about these people whom you see on the video screen or the television show or in the pornographic magazines in which you look. And when you do that, there is something inside your soul that dies, and you destroy your intimacy with your own mate. Now let's be honest about human sexuality. It was not something designed in the Playboy Mansion by Hugh Hefner. Human sexuality was a part of God's purpose from eternity past. In the beginning, God made them male and female. It is God's plan, not just for the procreation of the human race, but it is also God's plan for a husband and a wife to express within the bonds of marriage physical sexual intimacy. And the Scripture says the marriage bed is honorable for God. But only in marriage. And there's some couples, perhaps some in this congregation today, whose physical sexual intimacy in marriage is not what God wanted it to be, because one or both of you are involved in. You'll never have a great sex life in marriage until you're rid of pornography in your life. There's a fourth danger I want to share with you. Not only the loss of intimacy with God, the loss of your witness and ministry, the loss of intimacy with your mate, but number four, there is the possibility of bondage to sexual lust, to the lust of the flesh. Dr. Victor Klein is a professor at the University of Utah who has studied and interviewed literally hundreds of pornography addicts, and he says there are four stages that they go through. First of all is they come to the place where they become addicted to pornography. They've got to have it. The second stage is they escalate to the harder stuff. They go from soft porn to hard porn, the most grotesque and vile and violent kinds of things that you can imagine that are too indecent for me to even speak of, not only in this congregation, but in any kind of setting. And then the third step is you get desensitized. Your heart gets hardened. And there's no sensitivity at all to people who are made in the image of God. They just become objects. They're like animals. And finally, he says, it is taken to its logical conclusion. You become so much in bondage that you begin to act out the behavior that you've read about. Like that which I read earlier of those who read of child molestation and raped and molested children. That's a high price to pay. You say, well, I can control mine. I'm gonna read my pornography in moderation. You don't know that. You don't know that. I've already given you plenty of reasons not to even spend any time in pornography. But even if you do, how do you have the assurance, the guarantee that you won't become one of those who's in bondage? Listen to what one man in Chicago wrote. For 25 of my 34 years, I was in bondage to desire. It all started when I was 6 years old, and I would sneak peeks at our neighbor's Playboy magazines. I became so enamored with the female anatomy that I used to cut out advertisements from traditional magazines and carry them with me. Adults thought it was cute and funny that I had a desire to look at pictures of nude women. It just was further evidence that I was all boy. This seemingly innocent practice continued for several years, but everything changed dramatically when I was 12 and discovered sexual self-stimulation. It was like going from cigarettes to heroin. Even though I had some clumsy sexual experiences early on, they were frankly disappointing compared to my sexual fantasy life. In my mid-teens, I was no longer just looking at pictures. I began to read Playboy Advisor and Penthouse Letters. They helped me to develop what I call my fornication philosophy. At age 16, I met the girl who would become my wife. It was love at first sight for both of us, and the combination of her beauty and her unselfish love kept me from diving headfirst into the sexual underworld. However, even though we enjoyed lovemaking with daily frequency at age 16, my appetite only grew more and more insatiable. After a couple of years of marriage, I became obsessed with the need to act out the experiences that were so common in my reading. When those desires went unfilled, I turned to X-rated movies and films to supplement my magazine habit. My mind was so filled with these images that even when I was making love to my wife, my thoughts were continually flooded with other images. After a while, I found myself occupying private booths in the X-rated movie arcades, vicariously participating in sexual acts that would never be fulfilled at home. I began putting enormous pressure on my wife to grow with me sexually or I would leave her. I also had several hundred magazine mistresses along with regular trips to the video arcades just to keep my interests up, but nothing satisfied me sexually, nothing. Here's a man who had every kind of sexual experience you can imagine, well, almost, and he said nothing satisfied. First of all, pornography fascinates, and then it assassinates. First it tantalizes, and then it tyrannizes. Pornography is an enslaver. There are multitudes in our society, our American society, who are in bondage to pornography. So we've talked about the deceit of pornography, and we've talked about the danger that pornography poses. Now think with me thirdly about a defense against pornography. How can we defend ourselves against pornography? Look in Job chapter 31, verse 1. If you're in Psalms, just back up a few pages to Job chapter 31, verse 31. Job 31, 1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. The ladies here can say, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a man. We tend to think of pornography as being that which men do, and predominantly that is the case, but it's not entirely the case. Now there's a motto to live by. Just make a covenant with your eyes not to look at that which is going to incite the lust of the human heart. Look in Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3. Here we find King David saying, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. Pornography is vile. And the scripture tells us not to set before our eyes that which is vile. To the children. And I'm sorry to have to preach like this with children present. And if some parent is upset that your son or daughter's here and you're hearing the pastor speak like this, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I mean, I almost say to you, get a life. Do you know what's on television? Do you know what your sons and daughters are watching? This is mild. This is mild compared to, and I'm not talking about what's on the HBO and the Showtime and all those things that you ought not even be on your coming into your home anyway. But I'm talking about network television. But to the boys and girls who've not been exposed, please, to the children, don't ever start. When some friend says to you, I want to show you this magazine, maybe it was his father's magazine he found, just say no. Remember the words of King David who said, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. Make a covenant with your eyes while you're 8 or 10 or 12 or 14. And live by that covenant all the days of your life. Don't be corrupted by the devices of the devil. Put your defense up. Stand firm. Now, having said that, I'm aware that there are large numbers of people here who have been exposed to pornography. Some of you are in bondage to it. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Too many folks here, not for somebody to be in bondage to it. Large numbers. It's like it's got a trigger on you, and whenever the devil squeezes that trigger, you're just a puppet on a string. But I have some good news. You can be set free. The liberator has come. His name is Jesus. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, he who sins is a slave to sin, but the truth will set you free. And Jesus is the truth. May I suggest this morning, the only way you'll ever find deliverance is in the name, in the blood, and in the authority of Jesus Christ. You'll never be set free any other place or any other way. So let's talk about how we might be delivered from pornography. I want to give you several things. I hope you'll jot these down. I'll give you some scriptures with them. Number one, acknowledge that pornography is a sin. Until you're willing to acknowledge that pornography is not just some harmless little pastime, you're always going to be in bondage. You can't admit that, then just tune out the rest of the sermon. It's not for you. But if you want to be set free, if you want to be delivered from the bondage of Satan, the first step is to acknowledge that pornography is sin. It is sin against God. It is sin against your mate. It is sin against society. It is sin against your own walk with God. Look again in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. I want you to see this. I pray the Spirit of God will underline it in our hearts and minds today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. It is God's will that you should be holy and that you should avoid porneia, pornography, sexual immorality, fornication. Avoid porneia. That's the Word of God. Number two, repent and receive God's pardon. Repent and receive God's pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 7. If you look in Isaiah 55, verse 7, you'll find this wonderful admonition of the Lord through His prophet and this wonderful promise that comes with it. repent of the sin of pornography and receive God's pardon. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let the pornographer and the viewer of pornography forsake his way. Let him change his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. That's repentance right there. God says, repent. And he, God, will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Our God is a holy God who must judge sin, but our God has judged sin in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will turn from your sin and turn to the Lord God, he will have mercy upon you and he will pardon you. He will cleanse you from your sin. Repent of your sins and receive God's pardon. But that's not far enough. If you just do that, you're soon going to find yourself in the grip of pornography again. Let me give you a third step. Renew your mind. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Look in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The 12th chapter of Romans, first two verses, the Apostle Paul talks about how we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now look in verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Whatever else we can say about pornography, we can say it is a part of the pattern of this world, which is in opposition to God. But be transformed. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You see, it all begins in the mind. It's a battle for the mind. And then the devil gets his hooks in your mind. Sow a thought, reap a habit. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The Bible says that fornicators and adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Scripture says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How may we be transformed? By the renewing of our minds. How do we do that? Look in Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. I know we're looking at a lot of Scripture today, but I felt it important that we do this. It's not just enough for me to stand up and say to you that pornography is evil and harmful and dangerous, but I'm compelled by the Spirit of God to say, you don't have to live this way. You can be delivered. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, we are what we think. Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Garbage in, garbage out, truth in, truth out. If you fill your mind with the garbage and the sewage of pornography, have a lifestyle that reflects that. But if you fill your mind with the truth of God's Word, if you hide God's Word in your heart, you can use the Word of God as a weapon against pornography, that you will not sin against God. Number four, steps to be delivered from pornography. Avoid tempting, compromising circumstances or situations. Avoid going to places or observing movies, television programs, magazines, books that will compromise your desire to overcome pornography. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. These are the words of the Lord Jesus spoken in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:27, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus said there is the act of adultery, the physical act, and then there's also the thought, the lustful thought, if unchecked, which leads to adultery. It's adultery of the heart. Then he says in verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you not to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Is Jesus saying we ought to amputate our hands or gouge our eyes out? No. What's he saying? He's saying take whatever drastic measures you need to take to avoid the circumstances which will cause you to sin, the sin of lust. If it means buying, getting one of those little keys that you get from the cable people where you can program out whatever channels you want to, get it and do it. If it means just getting rid of the television altogether, then get rid of it altogether. But take whatever drastic measures you need to take so that you don't find yourself in those compromising circumstances, situations which cause you to give in to the sin of lust. I need to hurry on. Five. Take God's escape route. If you want to be delivered, you must take God's escape route. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that God has given us a route of escape. Look in verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Don't ever say, Lord, the temptation was so great, I couldn't help it. The devil made me do it. No, no, no. The Bible says God has a way of escape. But some of you never find it because you don't want to find it. It is not a reluctance on God's part to show you the way of escape. It is a reluctance on your part to want to be delivered from the temptation of lust. So I would say to you, take God's way of escape. Finally, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Here we're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about the weapons, the divine weapons which God has given to us to overcome any of the attacks of the enemy. Verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Multitudes of Americans have a stronghold of pornography. They can't help it. There's a stronghold. My friends, you'll never set yourself free from that kind of stronghold. Only the Lord Jesus Christ will set you free. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. Look in verse 5. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When the lustful thoughts come your way, learn to do warfare with the enemy. Learn to speak to the enemy. Learn to rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Learn to say, I refuse this lustful thought in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, by the authority of His Word, by the power of His shed blood. I do not have to think these lustful, evil, wicked, vile, pornographic thoughts. You must be captive to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will flee. So many of us have allowed Satan to do a number on us. He just pushes us around like we're just dummies. God have mercy on us. We can be set free. Some of you once knew what it was to be Satan's slave. Now you're enjoying the joy of God's freedom. One young man in our church has given this account of his life. One of the most godly young men I know. I read it and then I'm done. He writes, my problem with pornography began as a 10-year-old boy when I would visit my best friend's home. He and his brother had stacks of porno books and many poster pinups on their walls. A visit to their home was a wide-eyed experience for a young, unprotected boy from a Christian home. We would spend most of the night looking at the pornography books and reading the stories of illicit sex acts. This became a never-ending desire on my part, and I always wanted to visit him and consume the latest issues of Playboy, Hustler, and other magazines whose names I cannot recall. because we were best friends and we visited each other's homes regularly. I saw hundreds of pictures and I read many wild and explicit stories. The pictures and stories seemed to have a hypnotic effect on me, and I couldn't seem to stop once I began. This led to viewing R-rated and X-rated movies at theaters as I would sneak in or lie about my age if they ever bothered to ask. These experiences became the fuel for a lust that filled my mind through all my teen years into my early 20s. It affected my dating life and, needless to say, caused me and others much pain and hurt. The pictures and stories haunted my memory long after I became a Christian. Even though I wanted to be free, I didn't know how I could or how to begin. I prayed hundreds of times for God to take away the memories, but they just wouldn't go away. My thought life was a cesspool of lust and fantasies. I began to wonder if I would ever be free and if God could help me. Satan had me right where he wanted me. He had a stronghold on me that tormented me and crippled my effectiveness for Christ. I carried a ton of guilt for my past, and I felt condemnation from the enemy at all the time. When I was around 23 years of age before God, set me free from this stronghold and showed me how I could have freedom. I learned from the Bible that Satan had no legal hold on me as a Christian, and I no longer had to entertain the thoughts. I could capture them as 1 Corinthians 10 verses 4 and 5 teaches and turn Satan's reminders of my past into praise and worship. Worship of my glorious Savior who died and set me free from sin. Jesus died to pay the penalty of my sin, and He had forgiven me and cleansed me completely. Even though my mind had not forgotten, God had forgotten my sin and forgiven my debt. I praise God that He has set me free and taught me how to renew my mind with His wonderful Word. I have memorized Scripture now for some 15 years, and I found it to be the best way to reprogram my thought life. God's Word has power to cleanse and change any person who desires help. Signed, set free, and renewed. You want to be free? You can be. It's a choice. You can choose today to be free. You can choose to be Satan's slave. Choice is yours. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan has no legal right to you. If you're a child of God and you're in bondage to pornography, it's because you choose to be in bondage to pornography. It's because you love the things of this world more than you love the Lord God. And friends, whatever else that is the sin of idolatry. You might as well be in some primitive jungle somewhere bowing down to some image made of wood or stone, because it is idolatry, 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 because you choose that lifestyle. Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Why would anybody want to have the chains of Satan when he could have the liberating power of Jesus transforming him? Day after day after day. You've heard some straight talk today about pornography. Not a message I choose to preach. Just compelled of the Spirit of God to preach it. You know the truth now. You'll answer to God someday.